Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. A little music there to get us in the spirit of things. Jeffrey Zabar is our good friend, ladies and gentlemen. He's with us. Jeffrey's the author of a number of books, including Teleworking and Telecommuting, which you and I have talked about many times before. You've heard me mention many times before. Jeffrey, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here, Jim. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, sir, and Happy Hanukkah to you.
Thank you.
Folks, as I don't think it's ever really come up before, Jeffrey, because I know you haven't done a Christmas Day show with me before, but first let me say thank you for your dedication to us and to our audience, because, you know, folks, you heard me talk about how dedicated our Brain Trust members are, but for Jeff to show up today is just a model example of the dedication that these folks have and how much how important they think what you're doing is. And Jeffrey, on behalf of my audience, I want to thank you for that.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here, a pleasure to be involved, and, you know, it's in the spirit of giving, so we stay involved.
Thanks. You know, Jeff, I wanted to, one of the things that we have, I don't think we have ever talked about before, although I've probably given away a clue or two, but your heritage is Jewish. And
yes, it is.
And that's the reason I wish you a happy Hanukkah, and are there two more days in Hanukkah?
There's two more nights we have, tonight and tomorrow night, the seventh and eighth nights.
It's eight nights, huh?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's the holiday that keeps on giving,
Jeff,
or at least for eight nights.
Talk to us about what it's like on Christmas Day from, you know, the whole American experience of Christmas. What's it like being a Jew on Christmas?
Well, as a Jew on Christmas, in a lighthearted way, I get a day off of work, but as an entrepreneur, I keep working. So when you ask me, could I do a Christmas Day show, obviously, I'm off work. There's no expectations from clients to deliver anything today, so I'm at my office. So there's a lot to be said for that point of experience.
That's kind of the irony of this whole thing, Jeffrey. I've had many of my friends on Christmas days have been Jews.
Exactly. You know, I mean, and what are we to do? We don't have kids hounding us to open presents this morning. I mean, frankly, all our presents as Jews get opened in the evening, so because you light the candles and all of our celebrations, which is hard for people to understand. They all begin at night. They all begin at sundown, which really starts the next day for us. So all our stuff was done last night. It'll be done tonight again at sundown. But it's interesting because while I'm observant of the faith, you can't help but get drawn into the spirit of the holidays. We have people on our block. While we have Jews who don't have their homes lit, in fact, we have one Jew who does have his home lit in blue and white lights and a big, you know, a Star of David in front of his house. You know, we have a lot of homes on the block that are lit up. We have homes in the neighborhood that the kids like to drive past. We have the county puts on a big festival of lights, really just non-denominational, you know, lighting of array of lights.
You want to hear a funny story?
Go
I have
for
a
it.
Friend who was the only Jewish family when he was growing up in, you know, for blocks. And every year his father decorated the house in the blue and white lights like you were talking about for Hanukkah. And one year they went around judging all of the Christmas lights to see which one was the best one. And their lights got the prize. They won because the people judging didn't know who the family was.
Right, exactly. It's funny. I've long said that I'm lucky I'm Jewish, because if I got into the putting up lights thing, I'd be out of control, and my kids would be out of control. And I've just never been strong into putting up lights or anything like that. We have an electric menorah we put in the window to show the sort of eight or nine candles, because there's actually nine candles on a menorah. But, you know, we've never really gotten into anything beyond that. And I've said I'd be dangerous if I were a Christian and putting up lights, because I would probably not know when to quit. And I'd go to Cracker Barrel and buy everything they have to put up on a tree and to festoon the house, you know, the whole thing. But I think it's true with a lot of Jews, especially in major metro areas where you have a mix of a number of faiths. You know, things shut down on Christmas Day. So everybody, you know, the people who celebrate Christmas have a lot to do. between family and celebrations and meals and presents and things like that. And the Jews are sort of left to, like, what are we going to do? But we have commiseration among the Chinese because they don't celebrate it either, right, for the most part. And so if you ask a Jew, and especially in, like, a metro area, what are you doing for Christmas? The answer is the same, Chinese food and a movie. So that's what we do. I mean, we'll be traveling probably tonight, but that's typically what you do.
What about the Christmas, you know, the Christmas, everything about Christmas in America has become so commercial, and
right,
and it's so everywhere. It's so much a part of everything how does that strike you as a Jew, having it be so pervasive in, I mean, so prevalent, I really should say, is the proper word, so prevalent in our, you know, in our culture, in our society?
Well, there's two sides to that. One is the fact of when some places have it, you know, again, where I live in South Florida, we have 4 million people stretching along from the Palm Beaches down to Miami, to the Miami area. So you have some stores that forget that there's anything but, you know, that they think that there's only Christianity, and they will have nothing for Hanukkah, or they have very little sort of a token appreciation. There's major retailers, and I won't go naming names, but there's major retailers. If you go and you want to buy a Hanukkah card, they either have one or two or none. And for a market, especially as with many things, you know, Jews sort of live in pockets within areas, within larger communities. Typically, you know, you might have some areas that have more and some areas that have less. So it's to not have a representation of sort of the multiculturalism and the multi-denominations of faith that exist in a community is kind of disheartening. And then I know I've spoken with people like yourself, although you and I have not had this conversation, but other Gentiles out there who celebrate Christmas who get awed at the fact that by the time Halloween rolls around, the Christmas ads start, where it used to be Thanksgiving was the time that the ads would start. Now it's near into October, you know, mid-October when the Christmas ads start to begin. And we see that because the economy has been in such a hard time that, you know, retailers are ready to jumpstart it, kickstart it any way they can.
Well, and the thing is, that has nothing to do with today. You know, that,
right. Oh,
the
that
only
has
thing,
nothing to
the
do
only
with.
Thing that today has to do with that is just the culmination of that.
Oh, yeah,
and,
exactly.
And I mean, it has nothing to do with the theology or with the real reason for today and for Christians. And,
right.
And so that's the interesting thing. And let's continue this, Jeff, on the other side of these messages.
Sure.
We're going to take a quick break. It's 20 after. We're visiting with our good friend, Jeffrey Zabar. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jeffrey Zabar is our guest. Jeffrey, go ahead and give us your website, please.
www.chiefhomeofficer.com.
And whatever Jeff has to say, whatever he has to offer, ladies and gentlemen, is top shelf. And especially if you're a home-based business owner, if you're a telecommuter, if you're a teleworker, if you have anything to do with, if you're a micropreneur especially, Jeff's your guy. So
there you go.
Check it out. Jeffrey, and folks, we're talking to Jeff, who's our good friend, who's also a Jew, and who's we're talking about this season. And Jeff, the thing that's to me is a paradox is, in a way, is this whole Christmas season, the holiday season, we call it now, the holiday season, because it includes Thanksgiving. It also includes New Year's. And The paradox to me is that for Christians, the reason for today is you know, the birth of our Savior, and but at the same time, you know, that seems to often get shoved back because the whole commercialism thing is just pushed in our face so much, and. And that's just unfortunate for a lot of us. It's troubling for a lot of us. And the thing is it becomes crass. It becomes rude many times. It becomes
meaning to the spirit.
Yeah, exactly. But it also becomes rude to, you know, to other people, perhaps like someone who's Jewish could be rude. And I don't mean that what we celebrate today is rude. I mean,
no, I understand.
I mean
everything that started in October moving forward.
Yeah.
Or sell, buy,
yeah.
buy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a reality we face. And I think that, you know, we have, and it's always been that way, so we can't say, well, they're trying to jumpstart the economy, so ads start earlier and they're more pervasive. I don't think they're any more so than 5 years ago, except maybe they start sooner every year. Eventually it's going to be, you know, January 2nd, they're going to start running ads for, you know, that year,
right.
Next year's Christmas.
Right.
But I think that I think it can be done tastefully. You see some retailers, and no one comes to mind right now, but you see some retailers who keep it low-key. They start to ramp up holiday shopping and things like that while being tasteful and being mindful of those who may need to buy gifts but may not be of a Christian or a Christmas celebrating faith, whatever that may be across mm-hmm. the board. And I think that we become cynics, and part of it is we don't want to be a Grinch and we don't want to be a Scrooge and we don't want to be too cynical. But as you're saying, when you look at the way retailers tend to handle themselves this time of year, you know, this is their make or break season. You know, come January, there may be other times of year they need to sell, but if they don't do it in the sort of month and a half to 2 months leading up to December 25th, you know, they ain't going to do it. It's not going to happen, you know, as far as a strong retail season and what the next year is going to show. But still, there are tasteful ways to do it, tasteful ways to handle it, and thoughtful ways to handle it that some seem to do well and some seem to really miss the boat on.
Well, and of course, and I don't mean this in a flippant way, Jeff, but as we both know, another irony is you know, if you could convince people to be less commercial, there'd be a whole lot of Jews who wouldn't be happy about that.
Right. you know, we all benefit, we all work with it, we all get benefit from it. But it's a matter of being, and commercial is one thing, but you're, like you're saying, crassness. You know, it's a matter of being tasteful. And again, as someone of the Jewish faith who is surrounded by this, I can't help but get caught up in the spirit of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, people send holiday cards.
And what's the bad in that? I mean, isn't that great?
There's nothing bad in that at all, because it truly is, whether Jesus is the reason for the season, as, you know, you see some of the cards and signs mm-hmm. out there saying. But I think mankind is the reason for the season. You
That's
know, without
right.
us, I don't think dogs are going to celebrate Christmas. So, you know, it's mankind all getting along in peace and joy and love.
That's the reason why it makes me happy to send a Christmas, to send a card that sends holiday greetings.
Right.
Because, as you know, I mean, I've got hundreds of friends who, like yourself, Jeff, who are members of our Brain Trust that we communicate with, especially at this time of year. And there are a lot of different faiths. Not just Christians and not just Jews, and
right.
and there are a lot of different faiths, and to me, some Christians, you know, say you ought to send Christmas cards, you shouldn't send
right.
holiday cards. We've taken Christ out of the Christmas. Well, you know what? My message is, I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you.
Right.
I wish you peace. I wish all of us peace, and I'm glad you're in my life. That's my message, and you know, it's not my. I don't consider my holiday card to need to be, I don't think it needs to be evangelical.
Well, and I would agree completely on that point. I have never sent a Christmas card, obviously, as a Jew, but I've never sent a Happy Hanukkah card either,
right.
even to those people who I know who are Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
My cards say season's greetings. They may have a slight Christmas theme. Once it was a palm tree in Christmas lights, you know, something that reflected South Florida, something that reflected my reality. But you know what? Peace, joy, happiness. That's what it's all about, no matter your faith.
Jeff, I'm going to read a few. I've got some passages and some things I want to talk about a little bit in the rest of the hour. You want to hang around for a little while?
Love to.
Okay, stand by. Jeff's going to stay with us, folks. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Jeffrey Zabar. It's 29 after. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. Merry Christmas.
He is fine. life of small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blassingay, the small business advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Christmas morning. Merry Christmas to all my Christian friends, and Happy Hanukkah to all my Jewish friends, and I think that's pretty much. What other things are being celebrated now, Jeffrey Zavar?
We have Kwanzaa.
Oh yeah, we have Kwanzaa. I don't know much about Kwanzaa.
Frankly, I don't know that much about it either. I just know that as my children go to school and they have African American friends in their classes. And so it's one of those dates, and I'll profess ignorance on what it's for and what it means, except it is one of those things that get rolled in along with Christmas and Hanukkah as a happy holidays greeting. And so it's, you know, if we are to include all, be mindful of everything that's going on. You say happy holidays.
My Bill, my producer tells me it's about the harvest, so. I want to read a couple of passages, actually. And, folks, something you probably don't know about me, but I've been teaching, Jeff, I've been teaching an adult Sunday school class now for about 15 years. And there are a couple of passages that really mean a lot to me, and they mean a lot to one of the passages means a lot to Jews and also to Christians, and another one means a lot to me as a Christian. Here's a passage from Isaiah, one of the most beautiful books in literature, let alone the Bible. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. That's from Isaiah. And here's a passage from Luke, one of my favorite authors in the Bible, and it's from the second chapter. In those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, Jeffrey, as you know, that's a very, very famous passage. Many people, especially Christians, but even anybody who's paying attention these days has heard those passages before, the thing that I get from Luke, Jeff, and the thing that I think about today is, you know, the lowly state that Jesus was born into. And if you understand, if you just follow his life, even if you don't follow his teachings, if you just follow Jesus' life, you realize that whatever we can do for those less fortunate than us would be something that he would do. And those were some of the main things that he taught, wasn't it? It was that to do things for others and to give to others less fortunate, to help the downtrodden. And Jeffrey, you know, you and I were talking off the air about evangelizing, and to me, the thing that whatever I can do to work with you as a Jew to help humanity, that time is much better spent for me than for me to try to convert you to Christianity.
Right. I was blessed in a sense when I was younger with parents and a father who loved to travel. And we went, one trip we took, and my father loved scuba diving, and one trip we took to was Papua New Guinea. And so we went not by boat to there, but once we got to New Guinea, we traveled the island by boat, going to different dive sites and exploring. And a number of times we came across little villages where not the elder, but one of the leaders were missionaries on those sites, on those villages, and taking people who were not Christian and trying to convert them. And the good and bad that came of that, especially in the relations with outsiders, was really stark, and it was a strong contrast to what we were used to. And I think that there's a lot to be said for working together toward a common goal as opposed to trying to thrust your goal upon others.
Stand by, Jeff. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 22. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Jeffrey Zabar. And Jeffrey, give us your website one more time, please.
www.chiefhomeofficer.com.
Jeffrey, a good friend of mine is John O'Donohue. He's my favorite Irishman. He was on the show yesterday, joined us from Connemara, Ireland. And he's written a book called Anamkara. Anamkara means soul friend. Very, very good friend. And I want to read a blessing. And, folks, Jeffrey is one of my good friends, one of my very good friends. And, Jeffrey, this is to you, a blessing, a friendship blessing. May you be blessed with good friends. May you learn to be a good friend to yourself. May you be able to journey to that place in your soul where there is great love, warmth, feeling, and forgiveness. May this change you. May it transfigure that which is negative, distant, or cold in you. May you be brought into the real passion, kinship, and affinity of belonging. May you treasure your friends. May you be good to them. And may you be there for them. May they bring you all the blessings, challenges, truth, and light that you need for your journey. May you never be isolated. May you always be in the gentle nest of belonging with your Anamkara. Isn't that beautiful?
It really is, and it'd be a beautiful thing if we all could just sit down and, you know, I've done that with the Desiderata. I've done that with a couple passages where I post them on my wall, and occasionally, you know, sometimes they just become wall hangings, and sometimes they become part of your life, and it'd be great to be able to put that up, and if you could email me that would be great, because it's one of those things that we can print and put up on our walls and just recite every now and again, and just look at it every now and again and think about what it says, because I think that while we have these things in our lives, you read it, that it was touching, but then it becomes, you know, we have to live it, we have to think about it to have it take root in who we are and what we do.
Here's a narrative. This is prose, ladies and gentlemen. That was sort of poetic, but this is a passage, a chapter, actually, from his book Anamkara. I want to read Jeff, and I think you'll appreciate this. This is about the John says one of the greatest sins is the unlived life. In the Western tradition, we were taught many things about the nature of negativity and the nature of sin, but we were never told that one of the greatest sins is the unlived life. We're sent into the world to live to the full everything, to full that everything awakens in us and everything that comes toward us. It's a lonely experience to be at the deathbed of someone who is full of regret, to hear him say how he would love another year, to do the things his heart had always dreamed of, but believed he could never do until he retired. He had always postponed the dream of his heart. There are many people who do not live the lives they desire. Many of the things that hold them back from inhabiting their destiny are false. These are only images in their mind. They're not real barriers at all. We should never allow our fears or the expectations of others to set the frontiers of our destiny. I want to read that last sentence again. We should never allow our fears or the expectations of others to set the frontiers of our destiny. Jeffrey, that's a passage that I've been living by for a long time, even before I knew about John O'Donohue's writing. There's just something, one of the things that's good or bad about me is I refuse to live my life at someone else's pace or based on someone else's expectations.
How often we do, and we get caught up in the day-to-day. We go through our commutes. We go through our routine. It several times a week, and especially right now after you're reading that, you know, I internalize what you just said. And being an entrepreneur, and not to pull this back to business, but more to the point, being an entrepreneur who works from home, having three young children here, there are things that I wish I could do differently, but there's nothing that, you know, and finances sometimes make a difference, the need to meet deadlines. And
a lot of things have to be balanced. It's
balance,
isn't it?
But the ability to achieve relative balance by being here with my kids, shooting hoops, throwing a football, going over homework during the day as opposed to after 6 o'clock at night, because, frankly, after 8 o'clock at night, my wife and I are toast. You know, we can't be doing stuff like that. But the ability to be here is realizing a dream I never even knew I wanted, because, my father was self-employed. And if you remember way back when you would write a check, they would stamp the back of the check, and you'd have to fill out your name, your address, your phone number, and your employer. And you used to always write self under employer. I'm like, well, that's cool. What does that mean? Well, I am my own boss.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one lesson I think I learned early on, just from those four letters, was the ability to guide your own destiny. We have clients, we have customers, we have people we have to, you know, keep happy. But ultimately, we're in the driving seat, the driver's seat. And that allows us to create our own destiny and to find, you know, to find that balance in our lives and to do what we want to do within, you know, certain limitations, but no limitations guided by others and dictated by others. And I really appreciate that, and I know you do, and I know that entrepreneurs all over who have found promise and have found blessing in being an entrepreneur have realized that as well. So there's a lot to be said for that, and that passage fits right into the experience we live as so self-determining who we are and what we do, whether in work or in general life.
This book, Anamkara, Jeff, is there, folks. There it's mostly prose. It's mostly just thoughts like I just read that are in paragraph form, prosaic. But then there are, sprinkled out throughout the book, there are a number of little blessings, little poems that just really lift things up. And, Jeff, you know, I find out about a lot of authors because they send me their book. I found this book, and then I found the author. And it's called Anamkara. It's been out a few years. John's been an abiding guest of ours around the holidays and also on St. Patrick's Day because he's in Ireland. But I recommend it to you, Anamkara. And we're going to take a quick break. Jeffrey Zabar is our guest. And I will be right back. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm going to go ahead and get started because I got a lot to do and there's just a few minutes left. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, Jeffrey Zabar is still with us. Jeff, thanks for joining us. Thanks for staying with us today. Folks, I wanted to tell you that we have men and women around the world, and Jeff, I know Jeff joins me in this. We have men and women around the world, folks who aren't at home for the holidays now. They're not going to be home for Christmas. They're not home for Hanukkah. They're not home for Kwanzaa. They're fighting a war. They're standing a post around the world on behalf not only of you and me, ladies and gentlemen, but on behalf of liberty, the liberty of the human spirit, liberty of human beings to be self-determined. And I want to remind you of something that somehow seems to be lost on some people. They just forget about it. Every single member, every absolute single member of the 2+ million members of our military are volunteers. Now, if you are proud of our military before, what they've accomplished, wherever they are in the world, if you were proud of them before, now say to yourself, they're volunteers. Now what, Jeff, now what is the? What does our admiration do? How much does that go up a notch or two or ten when you realize that they're volunteers and they're over there doing what they're doing, wherever they're doing it, on behalf of liberty because they believe in something greater than themselves? And how could we possibly admire anything more wonderful than that spirit, that kind of love, Jeff? Agape love, as the Greeks called it, is the kind of love that causes people to run toward danger when the rest of us weenies are running away from it. Right. That's agape love, the kind of love that would cause somebody to give their life for somebody else,
right?
To put their lives in danger for somebody else. And Jeff,
I was going to say, you know, we do that for, we think of that, never a moment's pause for our children, for our loved ones, to do it for strangers, but who you're brothers with because of you're both Americans or you both seek freedom. There's a lot to be said for that. There's more than can be said.
I want to read something, folks. I don't know who the author is, but I've read it every Christmas for the last 7 years. This is the seventh time I've read this, and I'm going to read this, and it'll take a minute or so. Towards the night before Christmas, he lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give and to see just who in this house did live. I looked all about, a strange sight I did see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stocking by mantel, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of far distant lands. With medals and badges, awards of all kind, a sober thought came to my mind. For this house was different. It was dark and dreary. I found the home of a soldier. Once I could see clearly. The soldier lay asleep, silent and alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. The face was so gentle, the room in such disorder. Not how I pictured a United States soldier. Who was this hero of whom I'd just read, curled up on the poncho, the floor for a bed? I realized the families I saw that night owed their lives to these soldiers who were willing to fight. Soon round the world the children would play and grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. They all enjoyed freedom every month of the year because of the soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in the land far from home. The very thought brought a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees. I started to cry. The soldier awakened and I heard a rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. The soldier rolled over and drifted to sleep. I couldn't control it. I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still, and we both shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over with a soft voice, with a voice soft and pure, and he whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day. All is secure." One look at my watch and I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend, and to all a good night. Jeffrey, my son is Craig. He's going to be going to Iraq in about 3 weeks. And I hope you and everyone listening will add him to their prayer list.
That I will.
Thank you for being here, Jeffrey Zabar. I appreciate your time today very much, and we appreciate your friendship.
Jim, it's great to be able to call you a friend, and it was great to spend at least part of this Christmas Day with you.
Have a good trip. I know your family's traveling today, and we'll add you to our prayers as well.
Thank you very much.
Jeffrey Zabar, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of our military standing a post around the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.